Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, and today is January 4th, 2000, guess what, 19. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Information Services. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I am so excited about 2019. There's all kinds of cool stuff that's going to happen in 2019, like our portal.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. We're going to watch a lot of things come to fruition. We've been working on for a while here, so I'm excited too.
Super excited. And I'll tell you what I'm also excited about is the Seattle Seahawks winning the whole thing again. They're in the playoffs. Russell Wilson. I just am so excited. Are you excited about the Seattle Seahawks going to win this whole thing or what?
Russell Wilson is a great quarterback for sure.
Yep.
And I know you love the Seahawks and I understand why.
Yep.
But I fear that the Rams, well, I don't fear because I'm kind of rooting for them, but for you, I fear that the Rams will take that NFC spot when it's all said and done. They look really, really good.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think you have a lot of great teams this year. You know, you look at Kansas City, the Rams, of course, the Saints. How can you not pull for the Saints?
Even
the Chicago Bears. I mean, come
on. Yes, Bears. I mean,
I think Mike Dick is playing again.
Well, you know, they made this player acquisition this year. I can't remember.
Oh, come on. Let's
name,
move on.
But it was kind of a big deal. I think he used to play on the West Coast somewhere and –
You're just lucky that Kevin and Craig are not on this podcast.
Yeah. I know. I did that especially for them because I know they love to hear that.
Well, fun time of the year.
Yes.
People are now next week going to probably start getting back. But today what I thought we would talk about, you know, we talked about two podcasts ago about 2018 and we took a look back. But I thought today we'd look forward.
Sure.
And kind of get some of your thoughts on the futures markets, a little bit about food manufacturing, what we'll see, and let's wrap it up with the potential recession, dollar, that kind of cool stuff. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right.
Very topical things to cover at the beginning of the year. And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about this as they get settled back into work. So let's start with a sort of a futures market outlook.
Yeah, let's do that. So what do you think? What's your futures market outlook for 2019? And I will remind our guests that even if you listen to that, whatever that guy's name, Jim Cramer, Mad Money guy, we're even better than that guy.
We are better than that guy.
We're so much accurate. He's a nice guy. But if you want good commodity information and outlook, come to Nicole. So what do you got, Nicole?
I have a little less vested interest in where the commodity markets go. So I can give you that, that unbiased perspective. Let's hope this isn't, 2007, 2008, because I remember some of the commentary from Cramer at that point.
Yeah.
And I just need to do a little better, just a little better.
Yeah,
so as far as the futures market is concerned, as I've told folks quite a bit lately, although I always have the fundamental picture in mind, I'm more so looking at the macro market outlook for short term guidance on where the futures market is going. And in that sense, I've been thinking about interest rates and currency a lot lately. And traditionally, when interest rates rise, commodity prices fall. And the same could be said of the U.S. dollar. You get dollar appreciation, you get lower commodity prices. But could a recession reduce the likelihood of additional interest rate hikes? Very plausible. And stabilize commodity prices? And I think that's a very valid question to ask ourselves right now. This could also lead to speculative flight to commodity markets, adding support to prices, which would be a little different there. So then the question becomes, well, which markets? And to answer that, that's when I kind of tie in some of the fundamental factors in these markets that might make them more appealing than others. Now, with the corn market, you've got lower domestic stocks and stocks to use versus last year. and reasonably consistent areas of demand. So maybe a play there. For cocoa, it just seems to be a favorite of speculative traders anyway. Mm-hmm. From a fundamental perspective, there's an ongoing discussion about the age of trees and desire for stronger prices in originating countries that would be supportive of this. And you also have the ongoing Brexit discussion and volatility sure. in the British pound, which can influence this market, with any weakening of the pound offering some support to cocoa futures. Sugar, there's always a question there. Is there over-reliance on Brazil? And as such, there's strong ethanol production, how that will play in the prices, although better crops elsewhere might offset some of this and reduce its appeal as a market for parking money. But the reason I leave sugar in the realm of possibilities with some other markets you might not intuitively think of is that really any market with relatively weak prices right now provides an opportunity for price appreciation,
sure.
especially if you're looking for a short-term place to park money. Mm-hmm. So when you consider that, then you start thinking about soybeans and soybean oil because they have weak prices, wheat for the same reason, and OJ because of both weak prices and low liquidity, so giving an opportunity for someone to park a little money there and potentially see it grow. Now, strictly from a fundamental perspective, here's what I think we should watch for as it relates to futures. With corn, South American harvest and U.S. plantings for 2019, mm-hmm. With soybeans, South American production, and U.S.-China trade, of course, and really global trade of soy as a whole,
okay.
For soybean oil, biodiesel demand, and consequently, crude oil prices.
All right.
For sugar, Indian exports has been a topic in the news of late, but of course, also looking at Brazilian ethanol production and whether or not that remains strong. And then cocoa, mid-crop production in West Africa. And again, some of those sort of longer-term fundamental factors I mentioned earlier that people have been watching for a while.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, then talk to me about food manufacturing segment. What do you think we'll see in the upcoming year on that?
Good question. So many years ago, I spoke at the Sweetener Users Colloquium about the sweetener market, and I intentionally spent a great deal of that presentation discussing changing buying habits and the emergence of millennials as market drivers.
Right.
And one thing I mentioned during that discussion was that food manufacturers were going to find themselves in a place where they had to diversify their product mix to meet the needs of a diverse customer base, mostly due to that generation. Now, years later, we're here, and we've seen that happen. And a lot of the tried and true sort of old school brands that we remember as a kid are arguably having a harder time connecting with that younger generation who has what seems to be a totally different set of factors that drive what they buy, why they buy it, and even where they buy it from. And I think we're going to see that accelerate in 2019. And as such, the rollout of a lot of new products. Mm-hmm. Now, there are caveats to this.
Okay.
And I'll talk about that in a moment because there's one big one. But where this is going to get interesting, I believe anyway, is in ingredient markets. And we may see new spreads develop and others shrink. And one example of this is with sugar.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got the GM versus non-GM thing. You got the less sugar in products thing. And a lot of musical chairs with alternative sweeteners, everything from stevia and sucralose to ECJ and turbinado, new products that are coming out on the market.
Yeah.
And with the labeling law now settled and beet sugar being exempted from labeling as a bioengineered food, that spread between beet and cane sugar may narrow.
Yep.
And it certainly has from 2 or 3 years ago, for sure.
For sure.
Now, contrarily, you think on the other side of this, a bigger push by the likes of non-GMO Project Verified and similar certification groups will probably use this as a point of differentiation for their certification.
Sure.
And may make some of their rules on ingredient use more stringent than what's required per this labeling law. And then we can't forget retailers who are increasingly pushing organic products. Now, if you're paying attention, you'll notice Aldi is popping up in affluent neighborhoods all over America.
Right.
Which, if you've followed Aldi for the past 20, 30 years, those two words wouldn't have necessarily came side by side in your mind anyway.
Yeah, it was your cousin down the street, not the store.
Exactly. Pay for those shopping carts, okay?
Yeah.
And they also have extremely competitive pricing of organic foods versus retailers with more established presence in that space, like Whole Foods. So I think the diversification of product mix remains a major trend unless we fall into a deep recession.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one final question, and that's your favorite in the potential recession. I know it's probably hard to predict if and when. But what impact might that have on the dollar and commodity prices and even food manufacturers?
Well, for sure. That is the toughest thing to forecast of all of these.
Outside of government policy.
Right? Outside of government policy, because there are a lot of factors in place. And yeah. It does appear, at least in my opinion, it appears that we're heading into a recession.
Yep.
And folks can argue whether or not this is just market correction, i.e. we've been long overdue for this. Or if this is sort of a man-made artificial recession as a result of recent trade policy decisions. Now, regardless, it's challenging to see exactly what the impact will be, because if it's the latter, it could sort of reverse itself with a change to trade policy. And as such, you wouldn't want to put too much weight on what-if scenarios.
Right.
But if it is indeed long overdue, then the question becomes whether or not this leads to both cost cutting from food manufacturers and rising commodity prices, both more traditional reactions. So let's start with the commodity pricing side. In terms of the dollar, it sort of depends on if this is a U.S. problem or a global problem. Mm-hmm. If it's a U.S. problem, then that would likely lead to a weakening of the dollar and support commodity prices. If it's a global problem, and the U.S. is expected to see a lesser effect or rebound from it quicker than other places, it could lead to flight to the dollar, which would potentially pressure commodity prices. Or it could lead to flight from currency in general and towards commodities as a whole, which would be supportive of commodity prices. Right. So that's why I say there's a lot going on to try to really pinpoint what the effect is. And we can't necessarily rely on, you know, sort of the theory of how it's always been. Now, back to the food manufacturing side, if cost cutting is the choice reaction for food manufacturers, does that throw out the window what I just said about diversified product mix? Mm-hmm. And I say that's a good question, which leads to two very different lines of thought. Those cost-cutting manufacturers probably stick with whatever ingredients are the cheapest.
Right.
Strictly economics of cost position, their approach to this. Others may choose to do something a little different, especially those who are, one, publicly traded, and or two, are trying to grow a sustained increase to market share. Now, if you're paying attention to what financial analysts on Wall Street have been saying about food companies, one of their biggest concerns has been too much cost cutting and not enough organic growth.
Right.
That whole adage of you can't cost cut your way to growth.
Yeah.
So
can't cut it to what is their saying? Can't cut to
cost cut to success or cost cut to profitability. Although some would argue, well, that's how you get profitability, at least in the short term. You can for sure.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, do you lean towards reducing costs, including ingredient spend? So looking at those lower priced ingredients and take that short-term positive look on the balance sheet, or do you weather the storm while focusing on R&D and product development in the hopes of longer-term organic gains, especially if you can pull that off with higher margin products?
Yeah.
But in terms of commodity markets, I guess my recommendation for procurement professionals above all else right now is to monitor those economic reports closely for indicators.
Sure.
Well, when the government's back up and running again, anyway.
Well, and they could also talk to you about hedging.
Yeah, exactly. That topic is coming back into play in a big way. Lots of volatility, lots of uncertainty.
Looking at volatility, I mean, what better thing to do is, you know, first take our hedging 101, but also look at hedging options for your organization. So protect yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Protect yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that question, or shall we wrap it up?
I think we wrap it up.
Okay.
Let people get to their weekends. It's been such a long, short week.
One final thing though, that we, that you can do now on our website is you can register for our spring seminar on April 24th, Nicole.
Yes.
In Oak Brook, Illinois.
It'll be here before you know it.
Oh my gosh. It's going to go quick. And I'll tell you, it's going to be all about consumer trends. So what we were just talking about, we're going to dive in much deeper into all the different commodities and, how consumer trends might be impacted. So, if you're interested, please just go on our website and register, or you can just give us a call and we can talk to you about it, and then you can register.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever works, whichever's better for you.
Whatever works.
We're here to serve you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to congratulate the Seahawks just yet because there's a lot of good teams, but I wish them luck. And as I always say, everybody, live with an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for what you have, and try to keep your New Year's resolutions through January 15th. How about that?
Work on that.
All right, Nicole. Always a pleasure.
Same here, Michael.
Everybody, have a great weekend.
See you guys.
Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.